This is Only a Game. I'm Karen Gibbon. Around this time last year, Kamau Murray was having the biggest week of his career, coaching Sloane Stephens in the U.S. Open.
Sloane Stephens was playing in just her second semi at a major, while 37-year-old Venus Williams was looking to reach her 17th final at the Slams.
Stephens came into the 2017 U.S. Open unseeded, but she battled through, beating Venus Williams in an epic three-set semifinal. Was there a point during the week when you turned to her and said, whoa, this is happening?
Oh, well, you know, so I called everybody into a hotel room and we had a meeting. And the directions were to not talk about it. Don't say a word that the prize money had increased. Don't say a word that, hey, you know, if you win this round, the prize money doubles. Right? You know, it was like, nobody say a word or I will send you home.
But while Kamau Murray was in New York coaching Sloane through her first Grand Slam final, he was also juggling a $16.9 million construction project back in his old neighborhood in Chicago and managing a foundation that brings tennis to thousands of at-risk elementary students in the city's public schools. Growing up on the south side of Chicago, Kamau Murray never could have imagined that one day he'd be a rising star on the pro tennis coaching scene. But then he never imagined himself involved with tennis at all.
I didn't even own a tennis racket, you know, never watched tennis on TV. Obviously, like everybody else in my neighborhood, I thought I was going to be Michael Jordan, or I would have settled for Scottie Pippen even at that point.
One summer, when Kamau was seven, all the basketball camps in the city were full, and that's how tennis came into his life.
My mom drove past Jesse Owens Park, and she slowed down and asked the guy teaching lessons how much for summer camp, and he said it's $12 for the rest of the summer. And she kicked me out of the car and made me go play.
From the start, Kamau's dad, a lawyer who had played basketball and baseball in college, had a directive for his four kids.
He told us, you need to find the ball and kick it, spike it, shoot it, or hit it, because I'm not paying for college.
Kamau tried out for his high school basketball team, but when he didn't make it, he defaulted to the sport he'd become better at, tennis.
I really felt like I was a kid that could have gone either way. I had friends on both sides of the train tracks, if you will. And if not for tennis, I could have gone left instead of going right.
Kamau got a tennis scholarship to Florida A&M. He studied business and stayed on for a master's. He took a job in New York with a pharmaceutical company. One Christmas, he was in Chicago visiting his parents, and he decided to drop in on the facility where he had learned to play tennis. A new operator had taken over. Prices had gone up. The place was nearly empty.
You know, when I was a kid growing up in that exact same building, you could go there 4, 5, or 6 o'clock, and there were 100 kids playing tennis for free or some very nominal amount. And so I had this bright idea of taking over the old facility to sort of, quote unquote, make it like it was. So I told my mom what I wanted to do, and she thought I was crazy. And then my dad called me a couple of days later and said, your mom told me you need $90,000 to buy out the operator. I think you're out of your mind, but we will refinance the house and loan you the money, but I need it all back.
Oh my God, no pressure.
I know, right? Well, you know, my finance degree taught me how to make a very detailed Excel spreadsheet to make sure I could pay my parents back. Because the last thing you want to do is have your parents mortgage their house and go into foreclosure.
Kamau kept his day job with a pharmaceutical company, moved back to Chicago, and in 2008 launched XS Tennis. For most of the kids in his program, the goal isn't to go pro. It's to get a college scholarship. He wants them to have the same opportunities to get an education as he did. He charges on a sliding scale. No one's turned away. And he makes the same promise to the parents of every kid who walks in the door. First, we'll keep them safe. Second, we'll help them grow. Third, we'll help them win. Before long, XS Tennis had sent its first class of kids from the south side of Chicago off to college on full-ride tennis scholarships.
And from their success, I think spiraled into a model and motivation for other students to say, hey, You know, that kid looks like me. They walk the same elementary school and high school halls that I do. And they're not like some super athletic person. They just are a normal kid who committed to a process for 10 years. And at the end of that 10-year period, they were rewarded with a $250,000 college scholarship.
The success of those students didn't just attract more players from Chicago's South Side. It also attracted parents of kids from wealthier neighborhoods, parents who were willing and able to pay full price. By 2015, Kamau was still working his day job, coaching kids at night and co-coaching a former XS player named Taylor Townsend, who had gone pro. He knew it was time to make a choice.
I left my job January 27th of 2015. I mean, you know, you leave a job that you have for 13 years, right? You put yourself, your family, you put a lot of things at risk. You know, you got a company car, company credit card, they pay your cell phone bill, they pay for gas in the car, they pay your house internet bill. A lot of things were very comfortable in my life. When you have a job where you give up all these kind of comforts and safety nets, you remember the day.
Taylor switched coaches later that year, and Kamau switched his focus back to the kids in his academy. By then, he had broken ground on his larger dream, a 150,000-square-foot, 27-court tennis facility on the site of the Robert Taylor Homes, described in The Undefeated as, quote, once the largest public housing project in the country and one known for drugs, gangs, and tragic childhoods. Kamau says he wanted to keep his tennis academy close to the kids who needed it the most. But it's that location that led people to make assumptions about what Kamau Murray was trying to do.
When I first started the project, I'll be honest with you, you know, people say, oh, what you're really doing is building a community center, a tennis community center. I'm like, that's not what I'm building. Like, I didn't leave a successful career, right, and give up my free company card and gas card and cell phone and, you know, insurance to build a community center. I'm building one of the best places to learn to play tennis that just so happens to be on the South Side of Chicago.
Soon after breaking ground on what he calls his tennis village, Kamau got a call from Sloan Stevens' mother. At that point, there were big expectations for Sloan. She was the daughter of a championship swimmer and a former Patriots running back. She'd beaten Serena Williams to reach the semifinal of the 2013 Australian Open. But she changed coaches often and hadn't yet lived up to her promise.
It was like, hey, can you come out for a week? And I was like, sure, whatever. I'm not that busy. I can go out to LA for a week and coach a great player.
1 week turned into two, two turned into three. And before long, Sloan's mother, Sybil, offered Kamau Murray a job.
She said, I'm going to trust you with my child. She's doing this to make money. Ultimately, your job is to help her win.
But Kamau has never been known for telling people what they want to hear. So he told Sybil the exact same thing he says to the parents of kids back on the South Side of Chicago.
I told her, well, my job is actually threefold. You know, my job is first to keep her safe, two to help her grow because she's still 20-something, right? And then third to help her win. And I think if we do the first two, then winning becomes easier.
And it worked. By January of 2016, Kamau was traveling 30 weeks a year with Sloan, and she won three singles titles that year alone. But that fall, Sloan was diagnosed with a stress fracture. She had surgery and spent 11 months in a wheelchair. Sloan had only been back for 57 days when she entered last year's U.S. Open. She was ranked 83rd in the world. No player with that low a ranking had ever won the U.S. Open.
She didn't have a seed in the first round, so there weren't a ton of expectations.
But then Sloan beat Venus in that semifinal. The night before her first Grand Slam championship match, Kamau got a phone call from Sloan's hotel room.
And her mother was there and says, I think you should go talk to her. Right? And I'm like, why? She's like, she's in like a full body sweat.
Kamau had just returned from Billie Jean King's house, where he'd gone to wash some dirty clothes.
You don't know if you're going to be here for 2 days or 2 weeks. So at that point, I had run out of a clean shirt. And Sloan always gives me stuff about, you know, looking presentable on television.
He had some of Sloan's clothes, too. So he used that as an excuse to knock on her door. Once inside, his only job was to calm her down.
You try to convince them that there's no reason to be nervous when deep down inside you're like, yeah, you should be scared. Totally afraid. Because tomorrow's the biggest match of your life.
Kamau reminded Sloan that she'd be playing her good friend, Madison Keys. He told her that nobody watches the women's final anyway, that the stadium would be half empty.